You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Oh my god.
This is Hungover, a new mini-series where we follow some of our favorite theater artists on their way back to the stage.
We're going to be checking in with these artists before rehearsal, during rehearsal, seeing the process, and then afterwards during performances.
So you'll get a unique perspective on their journeys to getting back to normal.
So grab your hair of the dog, because this is Hungover.
Cheers! Cheers!
Welcome to this week's episode, a very special episode in our Hungover series.
Exactly, yeah. We say an addition.
Yeah, maybe? Bonus.
Bonus tracks.
Yeah. We are here with two of our collaborators from our recent photo shoot that we did. If you haven't seen it, what are you doing? Okay.
We are on it today. Are we synced up?
Yeah. The cycles are synced.
Yes.
It's the moon.
Yes, it is.
Caleb, do you want to introduce our guests?
Yes. We have Benji Rivera and Greg Dassenville here. We're here to talk about this photo shoot that we had, among many other things.
Hi, friends.
Hi.
Hello.
How's it going?
So good. Thanks for having us.
Good.
Of course. Thanks for being here. I know we were working so much in all of our interactions few weeks.
So busy.
Can't meet.
We actually get to have fun. But, I mean, full disclosure, you know us. If we're showing up to a photo shoot, the booze was flowing.
Let's just say that. The booze was flowing. I think we
Not to everyone.
And the gummy bears.
They were.
Oh, we had gummy bears at the photo shoot, too.
We did.
I ate many.
You had them poured all over you.
Yes. Yeah.
Benji, so you were our photographer for the shoot and, friend and collaborator on the podcast for a long time.
Yes. Yeah.
And Greg, you are our stylist for the shoot. So we're definitely going to get into kind of like that process and what we all worked on. But we start each podcast by asking our guests what first got them interested in the arts when they were young. So Benji, do you want to take off?
Yeah, I'll lead the way. All right. Let's think way, way back. I haven't answered this question in a while. I haven't done art in a while besides photography. So I started off, I was in an all sports family. And so I feel like for me, like the very, very like beginning phases of it were like church choir and like,
oh, sure.
You know, like the church summer camps where you'd go like learn. Our shows were like Zerubbabel's and Trouble.
Oh,
like, you know, like really like oh, punny, yeah. Yes. Like Bob's Burger type, like uh-huh. Bible story names.
AmeriKids was
yeah.
one that I would.
Right, yeah. right, right. Mm-hmm. Like yeah. that was the vibe.
Totally.
So like very young, like through like music first, singing was always like where I started. And then when I became a gymnast, my gymnastics coach kind of led me to start dancing. And, you know, between the singing and choir and the dancing and gymnastics, the musical theater world kind of was born. And then all through, like, school, I was always doing, you know, show choir, jazz choir, barbershop choir,
yes.
a cappella choir, like anything I could get my hands on in small town Iowa that was, mm-hmm. like, a performing opportunity. I obviously was, like, obsessed in some sense. I just didn't know to what level or what degree or... You know, not really sure you could make a living on it, but I loved it. So that's where it like started for me. And it really, really took off when I got to college.
Where
we all met together.
That's great.
Right. Wait.
Well, yeah. Everybody.
I'm here now.
Yeah.
Save the best for last.
Yeah. Then got to college and studied dance.
So when did you? What was your journey into starting with being a gymnastics and being a gymnast?
I think it was like a very like, you know, natural progression as far as like being in such a sport family.
Oh,
like,
sure.
You know, getting in gymnastics is, you know, very in our realm because I was like baseball, basketball, you know, all the sports. And I was the kid in my family who was like 3 years old and like on top of a tree, or like I learned how to do back handsprings on my couch at like four, or like my parents just like saw the energy there and saw my like desire to like do chaos. I think my neighbor when I was like really little taught me a cartwheel. She was like a cheerleader. I think there's like little nuggets that like got that rolling. And so I think they figured they might put me in something quickly before I like broke an arm in the backyard.
Oh, yeah. Safety first.
Very smart. Yes.
Yeah, get some good training under your belt before you hurt somebody.
Save on medical bills by paying for lessons.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very that.
Yeah.
Greg, what about you?
For me, like, I feel like as a little kid, I always knew that I wanted to do something in the arts, and I just was so drawn to like the spotlight, and I was a class clown and just loved the attention, right? Mm-hmm. I also think too, you know, as a little kid I was definitely very effeminate and ostentatious, and you know, as you continue to get older, like kids make fun of you, and it was a way for me to escape all of that craziness. So I found just like joy in being able to leave my own life to be who I wanted to be always. And in doing that, I got to like feel the praise for that, right? I got to just like sit in that spotlight of feeling normal and valued. So, you know, yeah, through like childhood, middle school, high school, like it was something that was always like a part of me. It was like in me, right? And I went to school for it, went to Syracuse for musical theater and toured after school and came here and did things. And yeah, it just kind of has evolved into what I'm doing now, which has been really cool.
What was there anything like in those kind of like formative years younger, like being involved in the arts, that you look back on now and you're like, oh my God, everything like makes sense? Like, did you have this like eye for fashion, like an interest in it early on?
So I was obsessed with Disney, like so obsessed. And I used to like sit in my room and draw like Disney-inspired wedding dresses. And I would always draw them with my sister in mind of like, I'm going to design your wedding dress, right? And it, my mom's also a brilliant like seamstress, like makes clothing, like all the costumes I ever wore, like for like madrigals, like for our show choir, whatever, like she would make them. And they were always so beautiful. And I was always like offer her up. I'd be like, oh, my mom's going to make that, no problem. But I never, like, took the time to, like, sit with her at the sewing machine and, like, learn all of that. But it was definitely in my world. Yeah, so looking back on it now, like, I was always playing with fashion to some degree. And I always loved being a little eccentric with my clothing, you know, and wanting to be best dressed and, like, have the look, right? Mm-hmm. And be, you know, in what was current. So it's not a surprise that it has shifted this way. Even when I was in college, I wanted to minor in fashion, but like on a BFA curriculum, there's just no time to do that.
Right, no.
You can't like major in musical theater and then have a fashion minor. It's one or the other. So it's been kind of cool like stepping back from my performing career to say like, all right, I'm going to focus on this and just see where it goes. And it's kind of launched in a really nice way. Yeah, so that's good.
That's so cool. I'm so jealous that you had a mom to like make costumes, because I was over here like gluing paper on myself.
My mom would sometimes sew my ballet shoes, but I would do it and just like glue them together.
Oh, my mother, no. I had to sew my ballet shoes, and it was the worst stitch ever. It was just like not on one side, stitch it enough to where it stays, and then.
Yes. My mom, I think, was a little too intense with the ballet shoes, just like with the sewing machine.
Oh my God.
Really going over it for extra support, you know? And I'm like, it can just be a stitch. Right.
Very sturdy, though.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There was a time where the kids do not do this, but girl, I was dancing with safety pins holding my elastics.
I was going to say, I didn't sew mine until like college.
So dangerous.
In college, I was duct taping mine, I think. That was the toe.
Well, yeah.
The toe, so that Joe didn't see your toe.
Exactly,
speaking of which.
Exactly. Big toe coming up.
Oh my God. This is just trivia, because mine's going to be embarrassed. When was the last time you bought a pair of ballet shoes?
Well, I'm going to ask you another question.
Okay.
Ooh, a question.
When was the last time you bought a dance belt? Because mine is like losing elasticity. and I need a new one. But ballet shoes, I actually just bought some.
You can have all mine. I'm
just sitting here like, take them.
I truly just like started like taking all mine from shows.
Shows, yeah,
of course.
I'm just like, I'm not going to buy any of these, so I'll just like keep stocking up. And I literally only wear one maybe once a year. Maybe.
Yeah, it's so rare. But I just wear like other underwear.
Right.
Now. Well, no, I think I've paired mine down to two, and now those two are kind of dead. So I'm in the market for a dance belt.
I have two. That's what I like. I think like that's a good amount to just
that's
have.
That's plenty.
Yeah.
That's plenty.
The very back of my underwear drawer.
I like to wear them around the house. So
but you avoided the question. When did you last buy ballet shoes? When did you last buy ballet shoes?
2018, I bought a nude pair that I love.
Wow, you know.
A nude pair.
A nude pair. So,
A beige pair?
Beige.
Skin tone of your skin tone?
Of my skin tone, yes.
Yeah.
I think mine are still from senior year of college.
All right.
Mine's high school for sure.
I feel like...
high school?
Yeah.
Greg, did you ever buy ballet shoes?
I did.
Yeah.
But I stepped... So I'm trying to think. I'm like, I stepped out at like the end of 2017.
Uh-huh.
So probably like 2015, 2016 is like my last pair. Wow.
Yeah.
Like showing up to BDC ready to take a dance class, you know, home at the bar.
Home at the bar. You know. I never took ballet in college. And
lucky.
So I
Very
didn't
lucky.
Have to.
You didn't need them.
No. And if any, I don't even have a pair right now. I think if any audition asked for them, I just wouldn't have them. I would just wear socks.
Yeah.
I wore neon orange tennis shoes to a Peggy Hickey ballet call.
Ooh. And you were like...
And she called me out. I got dragged for that.
Never again.
Didn't get the job either. So.
She's got to see those feet.
Yes. She's like from the corner. Right. And go.
Uh-huh. We all know the combo.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
Lots of legs.
We love Miss Peggy.
Hey, Peggy.
So we've been talking with some of our guests about what they've been doing throughout the pandemic and how they're preparing to go back to... work in theater. Benji, you're back at work, right? You're rehearsing now.
Our new hires started this week.
Okay.
So the returning ensemble start Monday.
So you start exciting. In Moulin Rouge.
Yes.
The spectacular spectacular.
The musical.
That would be Beetlejuice.
That was Beetlejuice. spectacular. It's been a while.
How are you feeling? Are you excited? Are you...
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because I thought it was just going to be like raw excitement going back. And then as we're like approaching, it's like a mixed bag of things. You know, I'm feeling a lot of different things because, you know, I'm sure as we'll talk about more, I've really loved getting into photography this year.
Yeah.
This year and a half. It's like really become such a home for me and such an incredible creative outlet that's like fully in your control. Most shoots, you know, unless your client really has an idea, but, so I'm definitely like super pumped and like, again, morning, like a little bit of like a slower pace. I love my bedtime.
Uh-huh.
I've been going to bed by 9 PM every night, all of pandemic.
Not happening anymore.
Yeah. And I'm like not even done with act one by 9 o'clock.
No.
So, you know, it's like, it's all good. But it's like hard changes, you know, growing pains. I mean, like Connor went back on tour. So like going back to work meant like us being apart again, which is like not the ideal thing. But working and saving money is the name of the game for a while now. And so I think when it really like hit me, that was my costume fitting. Mm-hmm. When I like went back in the building and like the confetti still on the floor from like our last show.
Wow.
And there's stacks of playbills in the back for the matinee that we canceled.
Wow.
Like I was like in makeup in house, like, you know, for like lift call for that matinee when it was canceled.
Because it was on a Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday matinee was when ours, we canceled midday before that
night. Before the league canceled everything.
Because we had two people who were out confirmed with COVID that day. And so that was before we knew we had like 18 cases in the building. Going back into the space with such like a getting it ripped away from you. So like, you know.
Yeah,
going back into it, looking the exact same, like
it was bizarre.
Yeah, it was, and
it
was like also I was overwhelmed with how like excited I got actually, like because it was finally real. Because I mean, how long have we been given dates? I just stopped believing
because
it was like hurting. It was like, you know, I was getting whiplash from like getting excited with each new date that we were being told, and then it not being real, and then a new date, and then it not being real, and you know, I feel like. I don't know. I'm like such an optimist, but kind of was like unsure we'd actually make it back. I don't know. I mean, there's only one New York City and one Broadway, so I'm like hopeful about it. But once I was back in the building, it felt real. And I'm now like so, so ready. I'm so pumped.
It's exciting. But you were talking about like with, you know, you kind of like dug into your photography more throughout the pandemic. You had been
right. I had
doing photography for
yeah
here and there for a long time.
5 or 6 years before. Yeah.
But what are you looking at it like in kind of striking that balance of like, how do I do this now that my schedule's different? If right. I want to keep pursuing it,
right?
Like,
yeah. That's a great question because, I mean, even I'm a little like that's, yeah. That's the goal, is trying to figure that out for sure. Because, you know, my initial thought was like, well, if I only shoot on Mondays, I know for sure I always have Mondays off.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was like, no, you like can't give up your only day of the week.
Right.
Mm-hmm. To like a photo shoot, you know, every week. And mm-hmm. so it's just going to be as, you know, the theater schedule where you like, you think you can plan your life out in advance. And then you find out Sunday night that you're called in uh-huh. rehearsal Wednesday, Thursday. And you're like, oh, well, I was supposed to, you know, ABC Wednesday and do this Thursday. And so how do you like build clientele? How do you like say, yeah, I'll book you for a headshot on a Wednesday in like 5 weeks. And then that Sunday be like, just kidding. I'm called to rehearsal.
Right.
So I'm definitely like a little nervous and anxious about it because I don't want to lose what I've gained. And I've like, feel like the momentum and like also the skill. I mean, just like anything, it's practice and getting back in the studio. And then staying back this year and like really, really delving into it. I'm like, I don't want to lose my steam. And
right.
So I think I'm just really, I'm trying to be super, super thoughtful about how and when I schedule it and like blocking it out in a way that I like offer out the dates in advance rather than waiting for clients to come to me. And so we'll see. It's a work in progress. It's like balance is the name of the game as far as like, as we all learned in life too. I mean, our personal lives this year got so much love and attention, and
we had
space and time for breakdowns and meltdowns.
But lots of time.
But then the space and time to like, you know, thrive from those things. And so, yeah, balance will be the focus for sure.
Yeah. Greg, now over the pandemic, you know, you're in fashion, you do that for work.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I've seen before the pandemic, I know that you were a stylist, you did this, but as in the middle of the pandemic, you kind of like exploded as like a, like theater style, like stylist for theater people, or that was kind of what I'm seeing from my perspective. So do you want to talk about kind of like what that time was and anything that seems to happen very quickly? Mm-hmm. Anyone who has worked for something like that knows that it takes a long time and a lot of like thought. And so I would wonder your perspective on that.
Yeah. So when I started this business, I was just like leaving my performing career. I was taking a step back because I was not in a good place. And I was like, it's time to channel my energy into something a little bit more positive and something that I can do without permission. And that was my whole like goal. I was done waiting to hear it. It's your turn. So it started moving nicely, and just there was like a really even, steady pace. But the moment the pandemic hit, everything disappeared overnight. And I knew that was going to happen, and I was okay with that happening. But I didn't realize that it was going to happen to the extent that it did.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like everybody, I thought we were going to be in this for like a month tops, you know, not
six
long.
Months. Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I honestly was just so naive, and I had this moment where I was like, you know what? I need a break. This is fine. And then the month like went by and I was like, okay, I need to do something. So I started like just styling myself just to like keep it alive. But when you're a stylist and you're not somebody who's like followed largely by like, you know, people, it only really gets to like certain people that you know, right? It's not going to hit the masses. So I was like, okay, great, whatever. Like, at least I could do it for me. And then I got to do this Glenlivet commercial last summer, which was wonderful. But then after that, come the end of September, everything was gone. And I had this moment in January where I was sitting on my bed and just crying. And I was like, it's over. I don't know what to do. And my boyfriend, Graham, was like, enough of the crying. Figure this out. You can do it if you want to do it. And I started reaching out to photographers that I knew, like literally anyone and everyone. And I was like, I'm around. I need to do something. Right. I will do it for free at this point. Like, I just need to like prove that I still have this.
Sure.
And people just kept coming back with, no, I don't have anything for you. Or no, the timing's not right. And I kind of snapped. And I'm a very, I mean, in true Aries fashion, you never say no to me, because when you do say no to me, I'm going to do it in a way that I'm going to make you regret for saying no. So I dreamed up this like plan, essentially, to do this shoot, to tell the story of the pandemic through my own eyes. And I just started reaching out to people, and that's how I met Benji. And, you know, I still like will never forget that first day that we were on set doing with Jason and Robert. And I just remember like looking all around, and all the pieces had fallen into place, and it was happening the way that I actually dreamed it to happen.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I, you know, was like pushing back the tears, and I was like, this is just so cool. You know, it's when you envision something and you dream of something, you obviously want it to happen that way, but realistically it doesn't.
Right.
Right. But to see that happen and to see it get to this place that was on such a level that I just still have no words for it, because it was, we all came together to create something so special. Yeah. And I felt so appreciative to like be connecting with people who didn't know me, who believed in what I wanted
right.
to do. Right. And we did it together. I couldn't have done that without the five other people that like said yes to doing this. And I knew that if we did this right, it would blow up in a way that would be incredible. And it did. And it's just been like kind of, it was kind of crazy. Like after, it was very overwhelming. And, you know, the Playbill article came out, the Broadway Direct article came out. And then, you know, I started pushing these like features to be published, and they were being picked up, which was amazing. And it's led to other cool things, which is like I got to style Jennifer Nettles. Like all of this came out of like this busy like creative work, right. So yeah, it's been amazing like being on the ride, but now I'm in this place of like the ride is still going at 100.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, ah! Like it's not a bad thing, but I have to find balance, and that's where I'm kind of in this place of like I'm burning the candle from both ends right now. Uh-huh. And I personally have to start trusting that I know what I'm doing and I am doing good work.
Yeah.
So I don't have to say yes to everything. You know,
right.
I think as artists, we live in this place of needing to say yes all the time because we need to be proving that we are doing these things. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's important to also protect your own space and your mind and your mental health too, right? You can like, because I also work a 40-hour plus work week in addition to running this business. So juggling the two sometimes, I never have a day off. And I just had my first weekend off since the shoot weeks ago.
Wow.
So, and it was crazy. And I was supposed to do a shoot on that Saturday, and then it got canceled. So I canceled my entire weekend, and I was like, I don't care. It's fine. It's fine. I don't need it. I can just enjoy the sunshine and go to the beach and just be one with myself. So, you know, baby steps. I'm figuring it out, but it's exciting. And I'm curious to know what happens now as like Broadway comes back. Like, mm-hmm. What does the red carpet look like? What does opening night look like?
Oh,
because
totally,
that was so much of my business.
Yeah.
That was what I was known for. And this last year I've definitely shifted into more editorial work, which I've loved. But my heart will always be in the community and like being able to dress somebody and like bring beauty to the runway, like to any kind of red carpet. It's so amazing. It's basically me with them. Like it's kind of hard to describe, but
no, I mean, it's what a lot of us love about theater is like that collaborative spirit, that kind of like community and like all working together to make something really special
mm-hmm.
to put out there to people. And I mean, it goes in so many different ways. You know, I, whenever I like teach classes or whatever, and kids ask about like, there's always someone that asks about like, what going into theater career? Like, I know it's hard, like all these things. And I always say like now, like if you want a career in theater, there are a million different ways to do it. It's not just how it looks like it is.
Right.
Yeah. You can have a 9-to-5 office job and go to Broadway opening nights in management or whatever. You can style Broadway star. I mean, it's like endless possibilities, but it's like finding what works for you.
Mm-hmm.
And connecting in that way.
Well, it's that same like thought of like everybody's journey is their own, and it's such a cliche phrase, I feel, you know, and when you're in college and you're just graduating and you're trying to remind yourself that, it's hard to like sit in that, right? Because you see what's happening amongst your peers, right? And you're like, okay, this person just booked and this person just booked and I'm still here like waiting tables at the restaurant, like kill me. But, you know, everything happens for a reason, and I like really believe this as of late. yeah, it's our journey's our journey, and you know what's meant for us will be. And
yeah,
you just got to keep following it, and you just have to trust us.
Yeah,
you know, annoying as that is to say.
No, but it's also like it's also practical. You can put that into like into motion,
mm-hmm.
like. What you were saying, like your goal was to have something where you didn't have to wait for someone to say yes.
Yeah.
And then you were trying to like get in the door by having people say yes. But it wasn't until you were like, no, I'm just going to do it on my own. I don't need anyone to tell me that it worked out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's like New York story right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. That's the way to thrive here. I feel like.
Yeah. You just have to like not ask for permission.
Yeah.
Ask for forgiveness later.
Like, yeah. Just do it.
Yeah.
Also, no one cares that much. No one's going to be like, Say you're sorry.
Exactly. You know, because like in a day or
seriously,
two, like yeah. the story changes.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's
right.
like you get that 5 minutes and then it's something else.
Well, and everyone's the leading character. You yes. know what I mean? So like,
yes.
I tell myself that a lot. Like, girl, no one's looking at you that hard.
No,
you
no,
know what
no.
I mean? It's like
yeah, nobody looks at you the way you look at you.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, attention yeah.
No
like
one is
attention.
Featuring you that much.
Right.
Take like relax.
It's true. Like that for any career though. No yeah. one's gonna fight for you the way that you're gonna fight for yourself.
Right.
Yes.
Right, yeah.
You have to show up for yourself yeah. and fight for what you want. And people are gonna look at you like you're crazy. Like when I was first starting Das & Vogue, people were like, "You're gonna style." Legit, like I was in a holding room and I had people like making fun of me for wanting
not
to
in
do
a holding
this.
Room.
Swear to God.
Oh no.
And I was like, you laugh now, but you'll be calling me later.
Oh. Work.
And I'll be busy when that call
tea.
Comes.
Correct.
Kept the
no, but like, uh-huh. not to be, you know. But that's what it is, you know.
But look out,
be
a little fierce here. Here.
Look at me now.
She still has a long way to go.
We all do. Do you want to talk about the
No, yes, I was
going
to say, like, oh, I was going to connect it with community. Like, when we started thinking of this shoot, you two were the first people to, like, come to mind about Hungover, how we wanted it photographed, how we wanted it styled. So the first idea we had was for Hungover was completely Kesha. Mm-hmm. So we came to Ben with this idea of a college party house that we had.
Mm-hmm.
Foxy Manor
yes, the Foxy.
And Kesha. I think that's the first two things that came to mind.
Yeah, we were just like, what if we're just like a mess? Because I think we had done a photo shoot before that was very like
clean.
Polished and like clink and like drinks and very
yeah.
like fun.
Yeah.
So we were like, girl, it's been a long year. Like, what if we were just wrecked?
Yes,
that would
yeah,
be,
yeah.
Because that's how we were feeling. Yeah. I mean, with the podcast for a while. Full disclosure, everyone, we stopped.
If you didn't notice.
And, but we were like, we're not. We don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
We're not interested. It's like everything was like so depressing.
Couldn't do a Zoom cabaret.
Awful.
No. So if you look at the pictures, there's like little bits of pandemic sprinkled in through it. There's face masks and Lysol and what are some other little items that we had sprinkled on there from the pandemic?
Gloves,
yeah,
things like that.
So it's like Zoom. The pandemic hangover we were coming out of.
Yeah, that was the kind of big picture. And then we kind of talked about like we got some like inspiration images that were all kind of like overexposed
yeah.
and like
they were epic though. That mood board was epic.
Mm-hmm.
we love a Pinterest
board. Your mood
board
was like far different than most I get. You know, most people uh-huh. send me like really pretty pictures that are like clothes they like and like they think they look like this celebrity and they right. will look like this celebrity in their pictures. And yours were like a Barbie whose hair was
like vomiting glitter into a toilet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was like a clear through line for me, but also
yeah.
I just was like giggling at it.
Well, I don't know if this ages us, but like we're not new to like Pinterest, okay? So we know how to make a board.
Wait, Pinterest 2012, Wichita, started my first Pinterest board, and I was like,
girl.
I fucking love Pinterest.
Oh, Pinterest
I
like
still
dangerous.
Pinterest. Yeah.
What was that thing that used to go on, and it would like roulette you to different websites.
That website was college for me. That's like, that's why I like got C's and D's in like public speaking.
So StumbleUpon was this like website you would go to, and you would just kind of like roulette through random websites. Like you would find games, or they would be like about like history.
It was awesome.
It was a weird time.
It was like that was how we killed time in tech. We would just be like on StumbleUpon
or draw something.
Draw something.
Caleb cheated though and drew on his iPad.
Oh yeah, I had it like was on my phone. I was like,
all of us were like doing on our tiny screen with our like big fat fingers. And
because
like,
if anyone has ever played games with Caleb,
I didn't have an iPhone.
He's a cheater, a dirty cheat.
This is true. Yes,
and cheaters never win.
Well,
period.
Debatable. So, Ben, we came to you with this idea. So, like, what is like, what are some of your first thoughts when someone comes with you to an idea? Like, what's your thought process? Does that, like,
I mean, it's definitely like, it was nice to know that Greg was on board because, you know, first and foremost, it's like, what kind of clothes are they bringing? You know, because some people like send you a mood board and then just bring you stuff from their closet that they've had for years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like one of my favorite photographers says, like, to take a good picture, you got to put like good stuff in front of the camera. Yeah. You know, you got to like, shoot interesting things.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's no magic, you know, it's just straight up what it is. And so mood board usually is the first step is like, what are they thinking they're going to wear? What do they think they're going to look like? And, you know, then it's like, what are these pictures for? Are they for like their Instagram? Are they for their website? Is it a headshot? You know, those are kind of my first thoughts as far as like, who's the audience and what's their goal with these pictures. And so your guys' mood board, knowing like you had a stylist on board and, you know, you're like well aware you're bringing on a makeup artist and, you know, and it was for this podcast. And so for me, it's like those, like, you got, I check my boxes first of like going through that kind of question first. And then it goes straight into like imagery. And, you know, thankfully you both were pretty knowledgeable about lighting and you're like overexposed and we could talk, oh, we wanted a hard light then. And, you know, it was like an easy conversation very early. Whereas sometimes I don't really decide till I'm like in the room on the spot, seeing what they brought. And then I decide what lighting I'm doing or what color backdrop will look good with what they brought. And so it's like, thankfully, mood boards usually help me do some homework beforehand so I can be creative in the space. Mm-hmm. So I like have like check boxes that needed to be checked, thought through things that need to be thought through, rather than like showing up in like problem solving the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Doing your homework.
Yeah.
Homework, yeah.
So, Greg, we sent you the same mood board, yes?
Yeah.
So like, what were they? And you're like, okay, yeah.
Well, no, I mean, it was... I loved it, and also in the same like vein as what Benji was just saying. Like when I heard that Benji was on board, I was like, "Great, it's done. We're because as a stylist, you can send me a mood board and be like, "This is what I want to capture." But if your photographer can't capture that,
right,
then it puts me as a stylist in a place of like, I'm gonna pull these from a showroom, but then I also have to deliver this photo back to the showroom. So if the picture is not that, then I'm going to have to come up with a million and one reasons as to why the photo looks the way that it does.
Right.
Right. Uh-huh. Or I'm going to have to be like, I'm so sorry. We just didn't run it. You know, like that's the other thing. And then it makes, it's a reflection of me. So obviously this talented human over here, this photographer extraordinaire, I was like, okay, great. We're going to have a stellar photo. But seeing the imagery that you sent over, I was like, great. I get to play outside of the lines.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Because so much of what I do is so like, meticulous, right, and so polished, but there's also something about in coloring outside of the lines that way, you still have to be meticulous, right? You still have to have a
more
point of view.
Yeah.
It is more, right?
Yeah.
Even it's like, I think about when you pulled me over and you were like, what do you think about a black lip? And I was like, absolutely not.
I don't think I said a black lip.
Somebody
said a black lip.
Somebody said a black lip and I was like, nope.
No.
Well, I think it was a conversation. You think Caleb wanted a bold lip.
A bold
let's
lip,
just say that.
Well, the idea was, this is a bold
lip. By the
lip.
Way, Kaylee Weir, our amazing makeup artist.
Yes, you are incredible.
Yeah, she's dreamy.
But I told her, I was like, it's a bold lip, but we've kissed maybe one too many boys that night, so it's a little bit smudged. So the black would be on my face.
But what we ended up moving into with that bubblegum pink was like perfection,
perfect.
Right? So for me, it's like, how do all the elements fit together? And, you know, when I started the process of like, okay, I knew that we had to have like something more tailored, right? But in chatting with both of you, like, it's important to me to make sure that I bring your essence to the table as well. It's not just about pulling nice clothes. That's my biggest pet peeve. When it comes to styling, like, anybody can style, right? Anybody can go and pull nice clothing and throw it on people and be like, you look nice.
Right.
But, like, what's the POV? Like, what are we telling? What's the story here?
Yeah.
And who are you showcasing, you know? So when we figured out what the, like, the first look was, or, you know, the dressed up look, let's call it, was, then for me it was like, okay, I'm going to just pull all of these things that could work for the drunk look, for the hungover look, essentially. Yeah. And that's where we got to have a lot of fun. We saw that camouflage moment and knew right away that that's what it was going to be. We got to play with everything in the box.
There were some looks that came out of that.
Yes. I mean, to the point where I was trying them on in my apartment because I was so obsessed with it. Like, you know, so it was so fun to see how it all kind of came together. And usually going into every shoot, I have everything planned out to a T. But for that one look, I couldn't plan it out until we were there.
Right.
You know, but I knew we have all the pieces, so we're going to find something that does work. So that was a new way of working for me, which was also very fun. So thank you for letting me
explore
that.
Yeah. That's a good room to be in.
Yeah.
In such like
it was a safe space.
It was.
Yeah. That's a good group.
With the music going. Friends.
And I think to what everyone is saying, like, number one, we all trust each other. We were all like, okay, this is going to be great. But also, we all came and had... We did our homework.
Right.
You know, we had had our images, like when we were setting up things, like, you know, I mean, I'm sure that maybe some in some rooms it might be too strong a perspective depending on who you're working with. But like, I knew exactly where the shot was going to be and like started just kind of like throwing shit all over the floor.
Truly.
But wouldn't you rather have that than somebody who comes in who's like, I don't know.
Right.
And you're like, well,
okay. You're just like, okay, take the lead. This is your shot.
Truly, I didn't have to do like any coaching for either of these two. You know, there's shoots that are like hard work.
Us models?
Because you're like constantly...
You're pulling it out of them.
Pulling them out. Yeah. And that was not the case. Yeah.
No, definitely not.
It was like, Kim's like, how about I use this disco ball now? You know, he's like pulling props out of nowhere, you know?
I'm like, this pizza?
Classic Caleb.
We brought like props to play.
Oh, so many.
Yeah.
So a new experience for me was, you know, we're very, you know, we love our gummy bears. We love our drinks. Mm-hmm. We love to have random pieces of pizza around.
Yes.
I never thought about when we have gorgeous
I know,
garments.
I was having heart attacks. Yeah, I was like,
can we have a piece of pizza on Caleb's chest?
When we have gorgeous garments that we're going back to where they belong, then we have to hold the pizza far away. It has to be.
I think at one point I was like, should I go pat the grease off the pizza? Quickly? I was like, you're being crazy. Just relax.
It was greasy dollar pizza, so it was like greasy.
Yeah.
It looked good.
It did.
But one of my favorite shots from the shoot, it'll be out soon.
We're released.
But this
you'll be sick of them. Trust me. Oh my god.
We're like splayed out on the floor, and Greg's shoes are in the shot, so it looks like we're like drunk on the street, and they're just like hot guy shoes. We don't see anything besides just like legs, and it's like one of my favorites.
But it's actually,
I haven't even seen it.
Exactly.
It's such a small detail too that Caleb was like, "Are those Greg's feet?" And I was like, "Oh my god!" But you have your perfect little like white Nike sock, white Nike shoe. Like, it's perfect. Like that was style too.
Exactly.
You're welcome.
It's a great shot.
Like. So fun. But again, those are like happy accidents.
Yeah.
And also, you know, depending on the day, sometimes an overhead shot, not going to be your favorite.
Which, what angle? We don't know.
I never want to be photographed from overhead. So, like, good like, for you for, like...
We're like, let's lay down. And you're like,
Here we go.
Like, I'll pull out the ladder. Let's go.
No, but it's just funny, too, because we're, like, when we're thinking of it in our heads, we're like, oh, like, an overhead shot. We're like, those were a lot of the images we sent you were, like, people
laying
on the floor.
Right? Yeah. Like, we don't all look like Nicole Kidman and like, you know, Moulin Rouge, and you know.
Yeah. So it was just like, but then it's like, you also have to trust everyone's eye to be like, when Benji says, hey, let's sit up and move against this wall. They're like,
it's
great.
Not working.
Like, we're not going to spend a ton of time here.
Right.
We'll have options.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was just such a blast. We love getting to like play like that. It's very, very fun.
It's not often you get to play with your best friends, like,
I mean, there was like what, 4 OCU people in that room. 4 out of 6 of us had, you know, known each other since college, and then, you know, Greg and I have been working together for months, and my assistant Emily and I have been working together for months, so it's like pretty easy crowd.
Yeah.
So have fun. Have a boyfriend there. Michael took
he
endless like behind the scenes stuff, and I was like, babe, where were you? I was like, all the shit that he took, and I was like, yeah. I didn't even feel like I didn't even see you throughout the shot. But it was really fun. I would say, like what you were saying too, with like, you got to put something good in front of the camera. Yeah. Like being in like some nice clothes that are like new and felt really fancy. It felt like really cool.
Yeah. Have a good makeup artist on, you know, who like, even if, like,
well, it
just to make
brings
you look
something out of you. Right.
Yeah.
You like, get to transform, because it like brings that energy that you want. And you know, you could pull from your closet, but you're not going to feel that same like sparkle.
It's different.
No,
it is different.
Right.
The elevation of it.
They can tell it's different.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course.
So like, if you're going to do, I would say if anyone's going to do like an Instagram shot shoot or like photo new headshots or something, get a new shirt. I don't know. Yeah. Or have Greg style you. He's available.
Call Greg. I don't know if Greg's going to want to hear this. Maybe we can like mute his headphones, but I always just tell people like go buy stuff off the rack or like whatever a mannequin's wearing head to toe. Like
stylists do this all the time.
If the mannequin is wearing it, obviously like whoever, Banana Republic, Zara has like designed this look to be worn together, buy it all. Leave the tags on, we'll shoot it, and we'll return it.
Just make sure, though, it meets the brand, right?
Right.
You know, it's very important. Yeah. Know thyself.
Right, but now I know Now I know Greg, so I don't always have to, like, say that.
Well, and that's something, too, that, like, I think that, you know, we, Caleb and I are pretty aware of, like, not only our brand as the show, but also each other. Like, we were able to say, like, I like these colors, I like bold patterns, like, all these things. Caleb was like, I'm into playing with, like, more fluid wear, like I'm down for a skirt or something flowy.
I was
flowy.
Just gonna say, like, if we had done this shoot, let's say 5-6 years ago, would we have done it the same way that we did it this last time?
Right.
You know, I think this last year and a half or so, we've learned so much more about who we are as people, but the world is also evolving too. And I think, you know, if you think about like our earlier selves, we would have played it very safe. Right. We would have wanted it to be so tailored and just like very tongue in cheek and that like jewel tone, like a showcase.
Nude pump.
You know what I'm saying?
Express men.
Yeah. With the nude pump.
Style X1 or something. Like, what was the thing? Express. It's like very specific brand of like the shirt.
I love this shirt.
They stretch really well.
A good stretch.
Throw a vest on. You know.
I've never gone on board with a vest.
I didn't either.
I couldn't.
I had a vest.
You definitely did.
I definitely did in high school. I think I got rid of them in college.
I had a sweater vest in high school.
I love a sweater
vest. Nice.
A casual sweater vest, too. They're back sweater vest to high school.
They are. And with
chunky,
nothing underneath.
Oversized sweater vest. Yeah.
I love them.
Nothing underneath.
Nothing underneath. Yeah.
For school?
No, for like life.
For like I used to wear like
with like a white pant or like a
for school.
Oh, yes.
I know that's very an edgy school.
Yeah.
Oh my god. No.
No way.
Adults, not eighth graders.
I don't show my armpits in high school.
Eighth graders are just wearing t-shirts.
Because you just started sprouting hair under your arms.
Oh yeah.
And you're like
t-shirts under
weird.
Tank tops. You know, like
t-shirts under.
Yes,
tank tops?
I have lots of pictures of white t-shirts under tank tops.
Under tank tops.
I love that.
Work.
Nobody was helping me. I was getting hand-me-downs my entire life.
Okay.
You know, I was like, and one Nike, like Adidas hand-me-downs.
Yep.
I didn't know what I was doing.
Okay. You're forgiven.
Well, yeah.
We love that. But you can make your hand-me-down chic. Hello.
Hello.
Turn them
style
into a
it. TikTok.
Yeah. Yes.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater. SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Okay, are we ready for some fun questions?
Oh, yes.
They're easy.
Woo.
No stress.
Okay.
No stress, no
ready?
Stress.
Okay. What was your favorite store at the mall as a kid?
Abercrombie. Done.
Sold.
Oh, so quick.
Yep.
Did you get like the...
Do you want to hear an embarrassing story?
Please.
I once walked into an Abercrombie in seventh grade and said, I'm home.
No.
How disgusting
was it the
is that?
The podcast is over.
Yeah, the podcast is over. Yeah. Revoke the styling card. I think my mom slapped me across the face at that point. She's like, are you crazy?
Oh, my God.
She didn't actually slap me, just for the record. She did not
for
do that.
For dramatic effect.
For dramatic effect, yes. But yeah, no, I used to love going to the mall, and Abercrombie was always the first stop because it was the cool thing to wear.
It was the cool
thing. You
know,
and I was like, I was not a cool kid, and I wanted to be a cool kid.
We were not allowed to wear Abercrombie.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I definitely had, like, you know, when I was trying to pretend to be straight, had, like, the cutout of the girl on the back of my door.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I don't know why she's there, but it's fine.
Because it's you. You're like, I want to be
yes,
right.
I was like,
on the beach.
I was like, follow those lines.
Okay, Benji, same question.
Oh, same question. Mine was the Orange Julius. My immediate thought when you said like favorite place to, like store in the mall, my head went to literally the Orange Julius in the food court.
That's
at the food court.
Yes, because listen, like I'm telling you, I didn't buy clothes. I didn't go to the mall to buy clothes. We didn't have a mall in my hometown.
Was there like...
Ours was an hour away.
Free sample Chinese food right by the Orange Julius? Because
no,
like, that's where I would be at.
No,
like,
see, I don't even remember if
orange
we had...
Orange chicken.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Our food court was like tiny. It was like a cotton candy like popcorn stand, mm-hmm. like an Orange Julius. Like it was like super low key.
Hold on. What is Orange Julius? I don't even...
It's like
a smoothie place.
Store, but have you ever had an Orange Julius the drink?
No.
Ooh, they're dreamy. Okay. Have either of you had Orange Julius's?
I have.
Yes.
They're like a dreamsicle kind of.
Yeah.
It's like an orangey, vanilla-y, like
I had it like this. I had it when I was in Georgia last year.
So good.
I feel like, didn't we do a road trip to Texas where we... Something... Orange Julius comes to mind.
Yeah.
It's like an inside
With
joke.
With Kate Moore?
And
well, there's
Sophie Mashofsky, shout out.
Wedding Singer. There's something about
Right. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's truly the first thing that comes to mind just as far as like childhood favorite store. Yeah. That's
Love
where
the food
that's
court.
Where you'd find me.
Orange
Sparrow.
Julius.
Yes, the Orange Julius.
Sparrow.
You guys would probably not be friends.
I definitely was not into the sports, so you would not have been friends.
We found each other when we were meant to find each other.
Exactly.
Correct.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly.
Next question. Okay. Would you rather style and photograph Lindsay Lohan, Paris Hilton, or Britney Spears?
Oh,
go.
Are you kidding?
Killed
iconic trio. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go with Britney because Britney needs some help right now. All right. Uh-huh. What she's posting on her IG, she's trying to regain her time, reclaim her time.
Yes.
What she's wearing, like the chaos. She's not doing a good job, like, painting a sane image. So she needs somebody to go in there and be like, okay, girl, we got to clean up this act. We got to, like, get rid of the raccoon eyes. We got to, like, you know, do all of that.
You really want to, like, free Britney from, like...
Like, what is she doing? I'm so worried for her.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah, she does have a lot going on, but, like...
She's freeing the nipple lately.
Yeah,
she is. Like, she is.
Boobs.
But like, think about like from like a legal standpoint.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is not okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Like she's not gonna be taken seriously. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Haters don't come for me.
I know.
Don't come for me right
now.
Do
you know?
No,
the Britney fans are not gonna be happy.
Like,
but I am a Britney fan.
No,
and
obviously
I'm
free Britney.
Well-being.
Obviously.
Yes.
Obviously. When I don't know if you've seen Pretty Promising Young Woman.
Yes.
But as soon as we saw it, Michael was like, they styled her as Britney Spears. Like, messy, kind of like blonde hair, like the like kind of almost childlike sundresses.
Yes.
It's very
yes.
like
yes.
that kind of like dichotomy
yes.
of like
yes.
adult woman in like a too young of a sundress,
yeah.
which is like,
yeah.
And a dark picture.
Angle of the camera.
Oh, the angle.
We love the high angle.
And it's always
really
like the shift. Boop.
That's
yeah.
where
you know.
That's where Benji's like, sweetie, just change
chin
the
down,
angle.
Chin down. Please lower the chin.
So Benji, Lindsay Lohan, Paris Hilton, or Britney Spears?
Do you want to say it with me on three?
Yes.
One, two, three.
Lindsay Lohan.
Oh. I can see that for you.
Oh, I love her.
Yeah.
I mean, what's not to love?
I mean, I love her and like, I wish that she hadn't fallen off so, you know, the deep end the way she has.
Isn't she?
You guys are both
comeback?
Bringing her careers back.
Yeah, we're like, everybody just needs lifted up. Paris doesn't need any help. She's on Netflix
She's got
right
her own
now.
Netflix,
Have
yeah.
you watched her show?
I haven't
I just started
it
last night.
It is so funny.
It's funny.
It's great.
Yeah, but for me, it's Lindsay. I've like been Team Lindsay since Parent Trap. Parent Trap is like top three movies of all time for me. But also like Lindsay and Mykonos dancing.
I know.
Oh, yes. The famous Mykonos video. Bitch. I'm like the biggest fan, and so therefore I would definitely say Lindsay.
Great.
I love that.
What is your part of your daily routine that you can't go without?
Oh, Dunkin' Donuts iced tea every day.
Oh, iced tea.
Iced tea. I don't drink coffee. So, and I don't drink soda. So I need an iced tea.
Wow.
It's the only
is it
thing
sweet?
That like, no,
caffeine.
Unsweetened. This is a, like a new thing. So once I did Whole 30, I was like, I need to figure out a way to just drink black tea. So now I can't have it sweetened. I'm like, great.
Yeah.
I'll just have it plain.
I'm the same with my coffee. I can't put sugar in it anymore after doing Whole 30.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, and I don't feel so bad when I have like two of them. Cause I'm like, it's just,
it's just tea. It's just water. With a bag of tea in
it's water. It's leaf water.
It's literally leaf water.
Yeah.
Love it.
Benji?
Love.
Same question?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely would be my morning coffee and cartoons.
Can't go without.
Can't go without. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, I feel like mornings are like time for yourself. That like,
yes, totally.
You wake up 2 hours before I need to be somewhere. So I have like
two hours.
Wow. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I have to walk the dog.
You know,
that's part of my morning. We'll like sit on a bench for a moment.
Oh.
And then that's I need to like sit on the couch for like a beat, have my coffee, my cartoons before
I'm
like getting
Raina
ready.
To you. I'm a bad dad. Oh man.
You need your mornings.
I do it all in an hour.
Look, yeah, exactly.
Parenting is not an exact science.
No, it is not. In all the
Have you seen the like clip of Benny Drama like being like a mom? Do you know who that is?
Yes. No.
Yes, it's so funny.
Like, Anastasia Beverly Hills.
Yes, it's
like that's
so good.
Me as a mom.
Yeah, that feels right.
That's very right for me. I'm like, darling, get me this. You. Like, that is me.
We'll have to show you. It's really good.
It's good.
Please. Okay, next style and photograph trio. Mm. We have Nick Jonas, Harry Styles, or Lil Nas X.
Oh, God. How dare you?
Good ones, right?
Really good ones.
Yeah.
Benji, do you know?
I have an obvious one for me.
We'll go ahead.
Harry Styles.
Harry Styles?
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm so torn.
Talk it out.
Yeah.
So, obviously, the
audio
moment. Lil Nas is the moment.
He is the moment, yeah.
Now, moment. Come on now.
Hello. You know what? I'm just going to, period. Done.
Done.
Yeah.
That's it.
There it is. Okay. So, we all made some purchases during the pandemic.
Totally.
But some of them we probably shouldn't have purchased. But what is the one where you're like, too late, confirm purchase? Something that you made this over the pandemic.
It's like something that we're like, no regrets. Like
no regrets. But yeah, it was kind of like...
My new camera.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, I finally upgraded to like a professional camera this year.
I bought a facelifting machine.
Work.
What is that?
So I got very into like creams and just like figuring out the face during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I was like, I have the time. She's getting older. I want to hold on to this
but
young...
But it looks super tight.
Thank
like,
you so
yeah,
much, right? Yeah. Somebody the other day told me I looked 25, and I was like, God bless you.
Yeah.
So I bought this thing called New Face, and it's this little, like, handheld device that has these titanium, I guess, like, balls on them. And you basically prime your whole face, and it's, like, an infrared, like, laser, like, in it, and it's non-invasive, and you basically, like, rub this along your face, and you can feel your face, like, tightening as you're doing it. And you're supposed to do it every single day, and,
course,
like, dermatologists do recommend that you do this, because it is, like, preventative, and, it, like, it lifts the face, and you're supposed to do it for 5 minutes every day. Have I done that for 5 minutes? No, I haven't.
Maybe you should cut the tea and get the face.
The primer.
Yeah.
Or wake up an hour earlier so you have more time for all of it.
Yeah.
I think you're supposed to do it at night.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Okay.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Wait, is it
do
like...
Do you see a difference?
I did see a difference, yes. And also, have you ever tried Hanacure?
Mm-mm.
Oh, my God. This is this, like... So, it's a face mask, but it, like, tightens your face so hard that you honestly can't move it. You look
love
like
that.
90 years old with it on. Like, it, like, shrivels up your whole face, and you're like... I can't talk. Like, it's so crazy.
I love that.
We love a face mask.
I love a face mask.
They're the best.
So everybody order today.
New Face. Code Equity 1.
Okay. Last style and photograph. Mm. This is more than a trio.
Okay.
Okay. We have Eureka, Ginger Minj, Trinity K. Bonet, Kylie Sonique Love, or Raja O'Hara.
Spoiler, the top five of All-Star 6.
Spoiler.
Sorry. I'm going to go with Raja because I hated her on her season. Mm-hmm. But she's done such an amazing turnaround.
She turned it around hard.
Like, that is a journey that I want to see. Yeah. Like, when she was announced, I was not happy. But that person that's, like, come out of that first experience and the person that's evolved today, like, that is such a beautiful human. There's nothing but love coming through her. And I am so here for her.
And she makes everything that she's wearing.
Everything.
That's fierce.
And that video, that first challenge where she made the dress in like 30 seconds, whatever it was. Yes.
So good.
Get a amazing. Girl. Come through. So good. I can't even do that.
Love.
No.
Love. I'd say Kylie.
Yes.
She's fierce. Love her.
She was like I was like not sure.
She's growing on me.
She really grew.
She's who I want to win now.
She was robbed of Snatch Game of Love, I'd have to say.
You think so?
Yes. I agree.
Robbed.
I don't know if it was robbed.
Robbery.
I don't think you have an opinion because this is our podcast.
Listen, but everybody has
and
an
thank
opinion.
You so much, Benji, for coming.
all I'm saying is, I think we liked her so well because it was so out of her character to do so well, and we expect Ginger to do that well.
Right.
But so Ginger different. Always performs kind of in the same way.
Yes.
Right.
Agreed. I think Kylie is she hasn't peaked yet, right? Every episode is just getting better and
which
better.
Which is a great game
Which
to
is
play.
Wonderful because in the beginning I was like, girl, you need to go home.
Yeah.
But somebody the other day brought this up and I'm going to bring it up here so we can all talk about it.
Let's talk about it.
Do we feel that, do you feel like they tried to rig it in a way to make sure that she continues to be in the top?
No. I don't really buy into they rig the challenges so that
guide it in a way. Like even think about Michelle. Michelle was like, I know you can do more. I know you
sure.
She's pulling this out of her.
But
right?
I also think that I was of a team where I was like, she was doing a good job before.
But you think she should
Michelle...
have won the challenge that she won the first time.
Because she looked and acted like Jessica Lange.
Yeah.
If it was an acting challenge, she had the best performance.
I didn't.
And that one was a terrible acting. Episode, too. Yeah, so she was the best part of the episode.
She was the breath of fresh air in that episode.
The thing is that they say, it's overacting.
It was also theater 101, no. Don't stand in straight line.
Oh my God. Straight line the whole time.
What was that?
Terrible.
I was like, can we get in some windows here? Can we, break it up.
What I'll say is I think that this season is a lot of the challenges kind of season 7 are kind of challenges that someone like Ginger would do very well in. So you can kind of count on them doing well. Mm-hmm. And where I think Kylie is kind of doing well in everything unexpectedly is more exciting.
Totally.
For me.
Yeah. I know I definitely feel I've always felt the show they have their hands in it a little too much for my taste. I understand it's TV.
Yeah.
To us, it's this killer competition that we love to watch, but it does feel a little too manipulated.
Curated.
Yeah, a little bit. Mm-hmm.
The judging, I feel like this season has been a little... But
also, when's the game going to start?
Exactly.
Over it.
We're at top five.
Robert Pistotnik knows, and he won't tell me.
I don't want to know.
I want to know. Only
I
because I
know
he
spoilers.
Knows.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out to Robert.
No spoilers. Hey, Robert.
Too busy. Ugh. Busy with the Groo Girls.
Yeah. Hey. Just so busy.
Is that all?
That is all.
Wow.
Oh my God, it happened so fast.
Yes, it did go fast. When you have fun.
I know. Thank you all so much, not only for the amazing work you did on our shoot, which you can see on all of our Instagrams, find us all where we tell you after this. But so thanks for that great collaboration and also just for this fun night hanging out.
Thank you. This is a blast.
Yay, good. Yay. Where can people find you on social media? Both personally and for your businesses.
My personal account on Instagram is at Benji_Riv. My photography is at Benjamin Revere Photography. I use the legal name,
Mm-hmm.
More official.
Yeah.
For me, so my personal is at Dasaberg, DASSABERG. And my business account is at Dasen Vogue. And you can also visit my website at www.dasenvogue.com.
Yes.
Cheers.
Caleb, this is an exciting day because we have something additional to add to the socials. Okay, so let's see. I think I got this.
Okay. And I'll pick up where you leave off.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok.
What?
at Equity One Podcast and at Equity One _ on Twitter.
Yes. You can send us an email at equityonepodcast@gmail.com. But then also at this moment right now, please head over to your Apple Podcast app. Give us a 5-star review. 5-star and review. Same thing.
The Topo Chico is really hitting.
It is.
I feel it.
The one can.
Elliot, where can we find you?
You can find me at Elliot Maddox on everything, Caleb.
Caleb Dickey on everything.
And until next time, cheers. Cheers.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.